Good morning. I'm pleased to be here today to talk about some of the findings from the initial phase of our community-based breast cancer study in the south side of Chicago, and I have no financial disclosures to make.
Do you want me to do use the slides?
No, I can get them. Just make room for my paper here. So, I'm going to start with some background about breast cancer mortality in the United States and about our project. Then I'm going to talk about the theoretical frame and corresponding methods. And afterwards, I'll offer some of our findings, conclusions, and implications. As you see from the slides here, breast cancer is the most common non-cutaneous malignancy among women in the United States. Though mortality from breast cancer has declined over the past year, the risk of African-American women dying from the disease is estimated to be 37% higher than that of white women, and you can see that clearly on the mortality slide. Multiple clinical and epidemiological studies have suggested possible explanations for these differences, including stage of cancer diagnosis, access to care, quality of care, and cancer type, which includes basal-like versus luminal cancer and tumor aggressiveness. CIDR, our research project, the Center for Interdisciplinary Health Disparities Research, seeks to find some possible answers to these drastic differences in black-white breast cancer mortality rates through a transdisciplinary, multi-level model looking at the environmental impact on gene expression, whereby changes cause mutated cells to survive and thus tumors to grow. This model examines how race and social circumstances impact psychological states, which influence gene expression, cell survival, and tumorigenesis. We know from social science research that African Americans experience significant everyday discrimination, financial stress, and major life event stress, all of which can lead to physiological changes, like changes in stress hormone levels, cortisol, and patterns of release. We also know from two animal studies that there is an association between stress-related increases and the progress of mammary tumors. These studies tell us that stress hormones may facilitate tumor growth in various ways. For this reason, our project is examining the relationships between the social environment, psychological functioning, and physiologic measures of stress and tumor onset, type, and progression. However, given the complexity of this health disparity, we need to better understand the everyday realities of the impact of breast cancer. We needed to hear the voices of these groups, their perspective on what it is about their environment, their neighborhoods, that influence their ability to manage and cope with breast cancer, emotionally and biologically. To examine these relationships further, we use the community-based participatory research model. At CIDR, we approach the questions of African American women having worse outcomes through four mutually informative projects, from geography to genes and back. As you see from this slide, we have four projects happening simultaneously. At the bottom, there are two projects looking at mice and rats, looking at social isolation and mammary tumors, genes, hormones, and two projects, which on the top, are examining actually women with breast cancer in the community, looking at genes, behavior, social circumstances, community, neighborhood. Now on to some of our methods. This is one of the flyers we put out to ask community participants to make their voices heard. Our approach to identifying community perspectives on breast cancer employed the community-based participatory research model and focus group theory. Community-based participatory research in health is not a research method itself or a theory, but an orientation to research that allows a balance between the research and community empowerment. This method improves the research process by ensuring the constructs and measures used are meaningful and relevant to the population of interest. The merging of community-based participatory research perspective and focus group theory allows community views about breast cancer and its treatment to come from the community via a group method that maximizes expression with minimal research bias. We recruited 503 female and male participants from 15 predominantly African-American South Side neighborhoods in Chicago. Holding at least two focus groups in each of the target neighborhoods reinforce our collaborative as opposed to an outside expert approach. In addition, by limiting 10 persons per group, we allowed for greater participation and expression. 49 focus groups were conducted in 15 community areas. The meetings were held in park districts, buildings, public libraries, social service buildings, community-based organizations. The number of focus groups in each area reflected community area population size. Open-ended questions were asked regarding attitudes, beliefs, and concerns about breast cancer and its treatment. All the meetings were audio taped and transcribed. Comments were categorized and keywords were used to represent themes. And Vivo software was used to perform text searches of all the transcripts. And here you can see a map of the Chicago neighborhoods. If you look from 35 down to 45 over to 49 and 71, that's basically the south side of Chicago. The star is the University of Chicago in the middle and Hyde Park, but these are all predominantly African-American neighborhoods. They vary in population, average income, and level of employment. Questions eliciting attitudes, beliefs, and concerns about breast cancer and its treatment were designed to explore community lay epidemiologies of breast cancer risk. Again, the focus group method is ideal to gather such shared cultural and community explanations and logics of breast cancer risk that might ordinarily be constrained within a one-on-one medical encounter. Such questions also elicited responses of why individuals do not obtain medical attention when they should. Again, we see questions like, what comes to mind when you think about breast cancer? What do you think goes on inside your body? If a woman told you she was at risk for breast cancer, what would that mean? In addition to validating the possible explanation raised earlier, including stage of cancer diagnosis, access to care, and quality of care, things that we all certainly know about, the grounded theory analysis revealed six general categories of attitudes, beliefs, and concerns about breast cancer and its treatment, which I will discuss. General mistrust of healthcare, of the healthcare system, may also be described as a sort of long-term embedded mistrust between the African American community and the United States healthcare system. One quote we had here, the money is in the comeback, not the cure. That is the way doctors operate. They give you a little cure, you come back, you spend more money, they give you another pill, the money is in the comeback. Another quote that a 41-year-old African-American male supplied, I know it's been repeated a million times, but the whole Tuskegee Airmen thing, that's still very real in the community. It's not a trust for the doctors and treatments and things that you're going to inject into our bodies. There's not a lot of trust there. Vanessa Gamble claims that the legacy of the Tuskegee syphilis study, where black men were deliberately denied effective treatment for syphilis in order to document the natural history of the disease, as well as other medical experimentation on blacks beforehand and afterwards, signify racism in medicine, misconduct in human research, and the arrogance of physicians and government abuse of black people. And it's these particular perceptions that may be fueling some of the general mistrust in the, of the medical profession that we see here. In our study, we found several forms of mistrust, including comments about Tuskegee, feeling like guinea pigs, claims about the general experimentation, which are being which are being investigated to support Gamble's claim. The financial impact of cancer care and problems with health insurance is a well-documented area of study. Findings from our focus groups validate these concerns, particularly the worries people have about accessing quality of care and health insurance. In addition, the cost of care were found to prevent people from seeking care at all. Free care was considered subpar and limiting, especially when it came to screening and mammography. At times, participants described using home, folk, and other over-the-counter remedies because they could not afford to go to the doctor. So far as locating the treatment aspect, if you don't have the money, you're just at their mercy. Some people are blessed. They can go to Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic. You can be fortunate if you're blessed, said one male. To get to your real question, for me personally, I do not have health insurance. If I was ill or diagnosed with anything, where could I go to get quality? Not just say go to a hospital to get quality health. That would be the real source for me. Participants claimed healthcare to be a low priority due to lack of finances and lack of time due to numerous day-to-day stressors. Healthcare is considered to be a last resort. As you can see here, healthcare is not a priority. Most people work two jobs and they sick going to work because work is more important. Making that money is more important than going to the doctor. That is just a reality fact of life. Common experiences of family members and friends passing away from breast cancer has not only demonstrated to women that breast cancer was inevitably fatal, but also reinforced a reluctance among the community to speak about cancer or a risk of knowing. This has led to widespread denial and fears of the social stigma of cancer, which has been perpetuated across multiple generations, similar to what we have seen with the idea of general mistrust in the healthcare system. One female said, a lot of people are in denial. They don't want to know. The symptoms are there. They can see them. That's what happened to my girlfriend's mother a long time ago. Hers was so extreme when she did go to the doctor. It had swollen up so big because she hid it from everybody. Participants expressed concerns with exposure to harmful effects of environment, pollution, and toxins in foods, technologies, neighborhoods, and workplaces. These concerns align with studies that have indeed found higher levels of local air pollutants, environmental toxins, and inflammation in low-income African American and Latino neighborhoods. The pollution, if you notice, the trucks are allowed to go down our areas more than the white communities. They got routes they got to stick to. Focus group participants discussed feeling discouraged from screening and mammograms by providers. And this was really a very interesting finding that we found, who made the referral process difficult and dissuaded women from having mammograms, even if they are at high risk. If you're not in your 50s, they don't really talk to you about mammograms unless you say, well, my mother and my grandmother had cancer. Then they may, but they don't really want to. They also describe feeling that screenings were not equal. The quality of care you get from a public health clinic is not the same quality of care you get from a private physician, said one woman. To conclude, community-based participatory research elicited insights unattainable by other methods, and particularly some contextual meaning besides some of the previously quoted quantitative studies conducted in this area of research. In addition to validating possible explanations for the mortality disparity, the elicited views about breast cancer and its treatment brought forth significant themes. During the next phase of our research, we plan to investigate these particular themes and pathways towards understanding breast cancer mortality. One potential pathway follows this possible course. One of the bubbles from the earlier screen, feeling discouraged from screening and mammograms by providers, may reduce rate of screening, later stage of diagnosis, reduce treatment efficacy, and ultimately an increased rate of breast cancer mortality. In line with the community-based participatory research model, findings were presented to participants and other community members of Chicago's South Side at a breast cancer summit. Investigators and community members there developed and prioritized a list of action steps to and with these findings. One project stemming from the focus groups will be discussed tomorrow, Living in Your Body for Life, an innovative DVD mini-series developed by Chicago high school students and professionals to reduce health disparities. Recommendations were made to the Chicago Breast Cancer Coalition with the aim of increasing mammography and screening, raising awareness of treatment successes, and improving social services for women in social and financial distress. And I really liked hearing about your program because I think it addresses some of the strategies that we're looking to towards the next phases of our study. So here's my contact information. Please stay tuned to our website for more findings from our study. We are just at the end of collecting 170 information on 170 breast cancer survivors in our study that we've done a number of series of data collection and social science, social isolation measures, and our built environment model. And hopefully we'll have something to say soon. Thank you very much.